In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
35-yard try for Brandon Aubrey for the first points of the game on the right hash. And Aubrey's kick is blocked and picked up and run back down the left side by Quan Martin, the safety. Well, it's not easy to get 3 points, is it? Ball is spotted at the 32 on the right hash, 42 to tie the game in the first quarter. And this one's away, and this one hit the right upright. And it's no good. Seibert's going to try a 51-yard field goal with the ball right between the hash marks, right to left. Waiting for the snap. Way has it. The kick is low, a line drive, and he missed it. And the kick's away. And the kick is wide left. That came off his foot going wide left.
Peyton Russell with the montage of the madness yesterday in Landover, Maryland. Bobby Belt was there as our Cowboys insider, and we're covering it on a Cowboys Monday here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
I just went and looked at the win probability, and when Dallas punted the ball away to Washington, their win probability was north of 99%. It wasn't quite 100, but it was less than 1% for Washington. The next play, they score the touchdown, and it goes to 50% for Washington to win the game, and then they miss the extra point, and it goes to 1% to win the game. I don't know that there's ever been.
We should power rank the absurdity and the likelihood of what happened.
It's the only other game that came to mind, like not even a Dallas game. The only other game, we were talking about it before you got here this morning, Sean. The only other game that reminded me that it's the River City Relay. It's that New Orleans pitch and catch where they score the touchdown, and then John Carney just pushed that, and that was back when an extra point was 18 yards or whatever it was, but that's the only other time I can remember this ever happening, where somebody got a chance to tie the game, and then they just pushed the extra point to the side.
The Cowboys closed as 10.5-point underdogs at ESPN Bet, so this is their largest upset win since, anyone want to guess?
I follow Todd, so I know the answer.
2010, Week 10, when they beat the Giants as a 13-point underdog, back in 2010.
That was Garrett's first game, wasn't it?
Yep.
The 41 combined points are the most in the final 9 minutes of regulation since 2012. That was Lions-Titans scoring 43 with everything that happened. Well, the absurdity of the sequence of events, how would you power rank them in terms of, are you kidding me? That, and you got to take into account moment in time as well. So, yeah, you can get a kickoff return, but Turpin, you know, still fumbling it, the spin move.
It's
McLaurin, extra point misses, 2-point conversions, Wanya Thomas.
It's so hard to almost divorce any of that, because it's like, could I see the Cowboys, like the Turpin play on its own? Could I see that happening? Yeah. Could I see the Cowboys having a bust in coverage with 30 seconds left? Yeah. Like all these things. But to have them all collectively happen, the most absurd thing was probably the McLaurin one. I don't know how you let, like, I don't know how you have, and I went back and looked at the play on film this morning. He's surrounded by five people. It's like a ring around McLaurin. And it took the perfect touch of three guys turning just the wrong way a little bit for McLaurin to be able to navigate it.
I mean, Wanya is obviously the fourth. That's, to me, even though it's a play you don't see all that often, it's still fourth. Hmm. I honestly think Turpin's is third.
Yeah.
I honestly, because, like, you know, You can find a way where you, with the new kickoff rules, you can out-kick things a little bit. And as they said on the broadcast, when there's a bobble, Sometimes the kicking team will kind of let up a little bit and they get out of their zone. I honestly think the missed point after is the number one. Because, like, yeah, you could see the Cowboys blowing something like that with McLaurin. McLaurin was obviously crazy, but that happened after an insane play, which made the entire thing even more insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like they didn't have... I kind of wonder if it's just did that sideline not even have time to emotionally recover? Like, right. Just because it was so frantic and we're in the tunnel watching this.
Well,
so we're just outside the tunnel. So we're watching it on the in-game feed for the most part, but you can hear the crowd and it is synced up because it's the live feed and just the roars you heard. Like the stadium had not gotten any louder than it did with McLaurin. And then it went so quiet other than all of the stadium staff gasping and going like, oh my gosh, when he pushed the kid. That was, I don't think I've ever seen a game crazier than that one. To me, it's McLaurin, it's the missed kick, then it's Turpin and Wanye.
How about Nikki in Indiana? Can't remember the last time we got a call from Atola in Indiana listening on the Odyssey app. Good morning, Nikki. You are live on Star Up, Star Down, the home of the Cowboys.
Good morning, guys. I am a longtime listener up here in Colts country with the worst fans anywhere.
The Colts? Wait, hang on. The Colts fans are bad?
Such bandwagon fans, man. You can't find them. You can't find them. Mm. Just like the IU Hoosiers, man, they're all jumping back on Notre Dame bandwagon. They're terrible. Okay. They're terrible up here.
All right.
So, start up. I got to, you know, I know Wanye Thomas made it to where, you know, Washington had a late chance, but I don't know. Did anyone see him streaking down, blocking for Kevontae Turpin? And you got to start up for Brandon Aubrey, man, coming back after, you know, two bad kicks. And, you know, I think as all Cowboys fans, we were all like, all right, here we go. There's a miss. There's a block. I know Sean's all mad about draft spot, but, you know, we're going to be taking offensive line anyway. We're not taking quarterback, wide receiver. Mm. I'll always take a win, especially when it hurts a division rival's playoff chances. But love listening to you guys.
Thank you so much, Nikki. Fantastic call.
Yeah, thank you, Nikki. Kevontae Turpin actually pointed that out. Kevontae Turpin made sure to give Wanye Thomas a lot of credit post-game that he said when he did the spin move, he said he saw, he's like, all right, I got basically the kicker to beat. He's not catching me unless it's a San Francisco playoff game. Then the kicker catches him. But he said that he got out there and he said and then gave Wanye credit for getting out in front of him and sealing off the last block and opening it up. But that was... that was as loud as Cowboys fans got all day too. Was the Turpin kickoff return?
Let me ask you this, Bobby: if I were to tell you, you pick wherever you want, but you still can find a way to get Campbell from LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Would you sign up for that?
And what is he?
He's a tackle. Some people think he might have to play guard because he has shorter arms.
Or Ashton Jeanty. Or
we need to do a breakdown tomorrow to this point of like, what range you're costing yourself falling out of for what? Because Nikki brings up a good point. Yeah, if you're really desperate for quarterback, you're extra ticked off.
Right, you're mad.
If you're not getting Travis Hunter really anyway, if you're not getting the number one pick, how mad should we really be?
Yeah, and you can still find your way into Savania.
Sure.
Arizona. Tackle.
Oh, okay.
James Pierce.
That's not how you say it, but yeah. Pierce might go top five. I don't know yet. Like I got to study more, but he's freaky. I mean, honestly, if you are going to draft an offensive lineman, this is not a top-heavy offensive line draft class like it's been in the past. So if you end up picking 13, you might be around the top offensive lineman in the
Banks?
Draft. Yeah, you could get Banks, I would think.
Let's get to the Odyssey app messages. Pepe, what other Tolos do we have?
Yeah, so next up we have Skyler in Godly, Texas. And, you know, he's not trying to be positive, but he's talking about the draft and the Cowboys have ruined his April.
Yesterday was awesome, refreshing. Everybody's going to be in a good mood going into Thanksgiving, beat up on these Giants. It is a misfortune that we don't get that top 10 pick, even though we're only at number 11. But wouldn't it be better to trade out of a top 10 pick and get capital since we need cheap players and more rookies on rookie contracts than veteran players asking for the top tier money? What are your thoughts on that? Thanks.
Yeah, you need a lot of cheap draft picks and ones at the top of your rounds as well.
That's the key. You know, they could have. Let's just say they had the eighth pick. I mean, theoretically, you could trade out of that, pick up an extra third, and then trade. You know, trade back from 8 to 10, pick up a third, and then trade back.
That's what they did with Micah.
And then trade back from 10 to 12, pick up an extra four. Whatever. You can keep stockpiling these picks. This team is. They're not one player away.
Oh no,
they're three players away.
I got another star up. Brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey of the NFL. I know he had the fumble. Great play by the Washington defense. I'm giving a star up to Rico. I thought he looked good. 19 for 86, 4.5 yards a carry. He had 3 catches for 12 yards. So that is a star up that I have for Rico Dowdle.
Can't have anything wrong. I mean, obviously, look, the fumble. That was just the guy muscled it away from you.
Yeah.
That's what that was. It wasn't.
And two of them.
Yeah, he wasn't carrying it, I didn't think, in a lazy manner. You know, he had his arm. The guy just ripped it away. Just a stronger guy ripped it away.
And speaking of ripping it away, star up Donovan Wilson with the strip. Kendricks with the recovery. That put the ball on the 44-yard line. And how about, I mean, my two biggest star ups may just be for the corners. Deron Bland. Yo, 6 tackles, 4 catches. McLaurin was erased in this game until the very end. Deron Bland allowed 4 catches for 27 yards. What a freaking return with no digs on the other side.
Yeah, and Bland was there. I'm interested to see. I got to see what the exact numbers. It definitely looked like.
And they were avoiding. Greg Olson's like, they're avoiding Deron Bland.
Yeah.
That's why you're getting Noah Brown targeted. Yeah. They're not going to McLaurin because of Deron Bland.
I think what you saw yesterday might be the beginning and the end of Diggs here. Maybe they move on from him in the offseason. You can probably get something decent for him.
They will. We've kind of referenced that they'll probably move on from one of Diggs or Bland, and you got to figure out which one it's going to be.
You know,
Bland,
you don't really figure it out.
Well, no, because I'm saying if you're talking about what gets you back more capital, Bland probably would, but Diggs would be if you're saying, oh, I get to keep Bland, and then I also get to get draft capital. I don't think you're getting more than maybe a third for Diggs if you move him, which is what L'Jarius Sneed got.
Mike in Fort Worth. Mike, you're next up on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Go ahead, Mikey.
How's it going, guys?
Staticky.
Hey, Sean, you're wrong, man. And personally, I don't like that kind of talk. I'm old school about tanking and throwing a game and all that. I know, and I understand where you're coming from. We want the best. It's all right to talk about it. But personally, I'm with Micah. Let's try to make the list get a wild card. If we don't, oh, well, start off next season. But all that take and talk, Sean, I usually agree with you over Bobby and RJ. But, it's all right to talk about it. Well, I don't like that kind of talk about taking the season. But anyway, guys, have a good day.
You too. You ended it nicely for me to really go back at you. You're wrong, and all of you are wrong with your team rah-rah. What are you getting out of this 1 week high, maybe a 2 week high against the Giants? Nothing. It's not even fool's gold. It's fool's copper.
Did you go 12?
You could steal copper lines now. It's expensive.
Did you go 12-5 in 2021 because you finished the season 4-3 down the stretch? Like when you won those games, or did you just, you cost yourself Panay Sewell is all you did. Now, it ultimately worked out. You got Micah, but you also wanted J.C. Horn. J.C. Horn got taken ahead. You may have ended up, you could have lost those games, missed out on the guy you wanted, and taken J.C. Horn. And then you would have been saying, we shouldn't have won those games. Right. That wasn't really productive. That kind of set us back a little bit.
Come on, man. It's not even a question.
I feel a little guilty saying it, honestly, that I would want them to have the pick because you do see, like, there are young players, and they, like I said, you go in the locker after and you just see as people and competitors, they're excited and it's refreshing to them. If it happens every now and then, fine. Don't let this be don't finish 500 the rest of the way, please. Don't do that. Don't finish 7-10 and then cost yourself several spots.
From the 817, Jimmy Johnson would not tank. What do you think the Herschel Walker trade was?
Oh yeah, he actively got worse.
That was a tank.
And again, for the 1 millionth time, we have to clarify: no one is expecting Mike McCarthy to throw a game.
No,
that's not the way it works. No one is expecting players to intentionally drop passes. That's not the way it works. They tried to do it yesterday with everyone missing, and you just hope for them to ultimately get the L.
No, nobody wants Dallas to quit. We just want Washington to be better. Live up to some expectations here, Washington.
Yes. Why do you guys want the Cowboys to lose to punish Jerry, but you don't want the Cowboys? But it's not fine for the Cowboys to lose for a better player.
Yeah.
Well, why is there such a difference? We're all kumbaya together when they're getting smoked in the second half. And I was like, ha ha, I want you to suffer, Jerry and Steven, but you don't want them to lose like this for the better player. Explain that to me. JP and Roanoke, you're up next. JP, you're live here on 105 Through the Fan.
We couldn't have done the worst thing this weekend. I'm so upset. That I was hoping Redskins would beat us. I mean, Dallas should just be upset because we're going to pick in the middle rounds again. We could have went for one of the top three, four. Got Shadur in here. Got Deion. Got some dogs. Deion knows the dogs. He can mentality wise, he's got it. And Shadur, I mean, we could have brought him in. Excitement. Money for all the players with prime time in here, and they did it. That was horrible yesterday. when he scored, Washington, McLaurin, or whoever scored, I was like, thank God, maybe we got a chance. First three picks. Let's get Shadur in here, and then let's bring Deion in here, and let's just get excitement back in Dallas. Now we're right back to the middle of the draft, and we're not going to do nothing, and this is that's the worst thing they could have ever done. Players should have got together. They should have said, hey, man, this season's already over. Now we're going to – maybe we win. I was hoping we were going to lose against the Giants.
Yeah. This guy's got a little Peyton Manning draw in there.
He does.
I thought I was hearing a little mumble mouth there from JP and Rono. Good call. David Hellman responded to your Twitter poll where 53% wanted the loss, but surprisingly – that many on the other side wanted the win. I wonder if Giants fans would rather have last year's Tommy DeVito wins or Drake May. Yeah, you got your little freaking cold cut story. You got your pizza specials in New Jersey. Oh, you could have had Drake May. But you and your winning mentality. All right. What happened? Yes. Let's knock out the rest of these. And then what happened with the postgame fight with Brian brought us on this station? Elliot in Maybank. Elliot, you're live here on The Fan.
Hey, guys. I think this all ties back to having a lame duck coach this year because he's having to coach for, like, next season for the rest of the games throughout this season. But I just – these fans that are so happy from a stupid win, they are moronic. I don't get what they're thinking. Like, just old school and that – old school guy with that crappy phone call with all that static. It's like, dude, get a better phone. Get up with the time. Like,
the phone was as old as the tape.
Not old school enough to have a landline, but
Right. Thanks for the call.
It's one of those cordless. We got to extend the antenna.
Yeah, he's got the and then he puts it up. I will say to JP, jumping back to JP real quickly. I've got good and bad news for him. The good news,
you mean Peyton? Peyton Manning.
Yes. Even being there at pick 11. Shador Sanders will be there for you. Bad news. They're not taking Shador Sanders. That's not happening. No. I know you guys want that. That's not happening.
One more message for now on the Odyssey app before we get to the postgame fight.
Yeah, guys, this is Robert in filthy Philadelphia. Here's Robert being a little bit positive after the Cowboys' victory over Washington.
Nothing like being the underdog and upsetting your rival. When Turpin hit that spin cycle, and I almost fell out of my seat. Now, this is a team I really can get behind. Nothing like being the underdog. Go, boys.
I was waiting for the punchline.
I love the accent.
Yeah.
Every word. This is a team I can get. He had the hoogie to him a little bit there. I like that.
Hoogie.
I like that, Robert.
All right. So, shout out Tolo Justin. A couple of other people alerted me saying, I think Tolo Skip. He's like, oh, you may want to check out the post game. I immediately texted Pepe and said, what's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Last night, it was around about 5 o'clock. And look, so this is the Cowboys postgame show with Brian Broaddus, Zach Walchuk of the G-Bag Nation. You got to think, like, these are 9-hour Cowboys broadcasts. We're up here for 9 hours. And so whenever, and you know, Broaddus is an old crusty. So whenever you get to about hour 7, hour 8, it's like any phone call that gets to him and triggers him, he's going to go after you. You know, you can't be just talking whatever, oh, let's get rid of Dak, let's fire McCarthy. If you have a point, you got to make a point, and he's going to ask you, well, why? What's your opinion or what's your option here if you want to get rid of Dak and McCarthy? So this is Tolo, Jeremy, and San Antonio going back and forth with Brian and Zach Walchuk on the postgame show last night.
Jeremy in San Antonio, what's up, dude?
Thank you for giving me some of your precious time. I need a little bit of what Uncle Jim is drinking over there in his lap because I'm not really excited about this lipstick on a pig.
Okay.
And you guys want to call us to task, the Cowboys fans, about calling in and saying we should tank.
Yeah.
At what point will you guys at the mothership hold this
franchise to task.
You're full of S right now. Uh-oh. You're completely full of S. Uh-oh.
Jeremy, we've been doing it after every single postgame show.
Our shows call these guys to task. You know? We're respectful about it.
I don't agree with that, but thanks for having me.
I don't agree with you.
And what is it that you don't agree with, Jeremy?
What more do you want us to do? What more do you want us to do?
How long does this have to go on?
Well, how much more do you mean has to go on? What more?
We're talking about how fancy and how fun this win is, and it's crap. This culture is crap. The leadership is not good.
They're going to – okay.
At what point can we hold this franchise accountable?
We do.
At what point where you guys will – You're not. You guys,
Jeremy,
are
you're full of crap. Jeremy, you're full of crap.
I did it last week.
You are so full of crap about this.
I did it last
this.
Week after the loss. I said that Jerry shouldn't even be doing the interviews anymore. Jeremy, open up your damn ears and listen. Listen. Do you listen to the postgame show every week, Jeremy?
You
do
listen.
You?
Every single week.
Well, then you're lying. You're lying.
You're lying right now.
Longer than you guys have been on the air.
That's fine. Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Sure.
But if you're listening... I've done exactly that.
Look at the way you're reacting.
Look at the way you're calling in just being BS.
It's not BS.
It
people
is BS. We hold this team accountable. Every week, Zach, we talk about this team, the losses and what they do. We talk about firing coaches. I worked at DallasCowboys.com and on that platform for 3 years and tried to fire Jason Garrett. Don't tell me about holding guys accountable here.
You're not.
Whatever. Keep it going. You're fine.
Jeremy.
You're the problem. You're the problem.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for the call.
What a little B.
That's a drop. That's a drop.
That's a good one.
That's so good.
That's a good one.
Obviously, Broadus and Zach are right and correct, but welcome to our world for 15 years after the Jerry Jones
reality
interview.
Of it.
welcome. You know, he doesn't listen as much. Some of this probably comes from the program director at the other AM station who continues his little desperate ploy of the paid-for station where people in that building actually laugh at that promo and laugh at him for that message that he tries to send across. But obviously, Broadus and Zach, very critical. Everyone's been killing them. And if you don't listen, you'll have Jeremy's take.
I don't have a problem if Jeremy wants to say he doesn't think we're holding them accountable for XYZ reason. But you have to give XYZ reason. You can't just keep saying, well, you're not. Show me how. They call for people to get fired. They press people. Like we press Jerry on stuff. They pressed Steven on Friday about stuff. Like, it consistently is, they're getting asked these questions and we're calling all the time. I talk about all the time that they should have moved on from McCarthy. Like, these sort of things get laid out consistently.
I think at this point, it's a waste of time. Like, I can't get geared up for this defense.
It is a waste.
No, I get every time. Like, maybe once every, like, month, 2 months, I'll fall for it and get emotional and tired of it, but there's no point.
I just mean from a tactics standpoint. If you want to make the claim, fine, I'll mix it up with you. Tell me what it is, though. You can't just tell me, like, you just are.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't make sense. And Brian, I knew Brian was breathing a sigh of relief yesterday. We were walking out of halftime from the Houston game when it was close, and he's like, they got a shot to win this one. And I was like, yeah. I was like, don't want to mess up that draft pick too bad, though. And Brian was like, I'm just so damn tired of, like, spending 3 hours in the post game where we're talking about, like, I just want one win. Give me a win so it can be, like, a pleasant halftime show. And then this was the most negative one he said. This is the biggest blow he said, was after a win.
After the win.
But I did feel good for Brian then when he said, because I knew that was going to be in a calmer 3 hours for him.